Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
James Travelers Broadcasting Service.
Founded in 1925.
It's fascinating. The Travelers, you know, creates the radio station, and they did it really early, 1925. That was the very early days of radio.
WTIC is news.
This is Bob Steele speaking to you from the front yard of Victory House.
Here in the state capitol, Connecticut is paying its official tribute to the memory of the late President John F. Kennedy.
WTIC Radio presents a visit with Governor of the State, Chester Bowles, at home.
Most of what we hear about the energy crisis talks about a shortage of heating oil for the winter or added fuel for summer driving.
Ever since September 11th, it was just a matter of time before they actually sent us overseas.
Connecticut, we're all in this together.
Entertainment.
We hear from Montevani and the orchestra. Moon River.
We'll be playing two songs back to back.
That's one of the 8 million selling records that Artie Shaw and his orchestra recorded. It's called Back Bay Shuffle.
Morgan, this is Tony Orlando.
Opinion.
This is Rush Limbaugh on Connecticut's great radio station, WTIC 1080.
Ladies and gentlemen, your calls work. This is your legislators responding to a common sense approach.
Thank you, WTIC.
Sports.
Outboard races on the Connecticut River at Hartford.
And the Whalers jump 25 feet in the air with that emotional goal.
Connecticut is the basketball capital of the country for 2004.
Personality.
These look like peanut butter cookies.
They are.
Okay.
Our journey to celebrating 100 years of WTIC News Talk 1080. On Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham.
That's exactly what it is, a journey. Welcome, everybody, to the fifth installment of the Broadcaster at 100. Today we're going to be focusing on the 1944 Hartford Circus Fire, which is the longest-running developing news story that we've been covering ever on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Morgan Cunningham with you and happy to be with you for another edition of our series celebrating the road to 100 years of WTIC. Now, as I mentioned, ever since day one in 1925, WTIC has been committed to covering local news stories. But of course, as years go on, news comes and it goes. But there are a number of stories that are of interest that continue to pop up for one reason or another. This is one of those stories. The 1944 Hartford Circus Fire, which is the deadliest single disaster ever in Connecticut and one of the worst fires in American history. The fire during an afternoon performance of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, claiming the lives of at least 167 people, injuring over several hundred others. As years go on, more stories come to some kind of a completion. They become history, right? And many aspects of this story have done just that. They've become history. But there are aspects of the Circus Fire tragedy that have continued to appear in WTIC's newscasts for 80 years. For instance, we've covered the actual fire itself, the burials, the memorials, the dedication of the memorial, and attempts to identify unidentified remains over the years. A process, yes, that's taken 80 years. And at the time of this recording, 5 sets of remains still have not been identified. and efforts do continue to identify those victims. Our guest for this edition of the Broadcaster at 100 is someone who was pretty young when that happened and was part of our audience all that time ago, still is. Let's welcome survivor Nancy Savin. She considers herself, these are her words, a Hartford relic, now at age 86 and 8 months, but who's counting? She was born in 1937, attended the West Hartford Public School System, graduated from the Connecticut College for Women as a voice and music history major. She worked as an elementary vocal music teacher in the West Hartford Public School System and in the Downtown Council of the City of Hartford, also in Connecticut Public Television. Nancy, it's great to have you on the Broadcaster at 100 on Spotlight Connecticut. Welcome to the show.
Well, I thank you very much. I'm very impressed with that marvelous introduction to your road. What do you call it? Road of 100 years?
Yeah, Road to 100 years. I mean, that's a lot of audio in just about a minute's time.
I know, but it's very illuminating. I really loved it, and I thank you so much for having me on. I sort of have my heart in my throat when you mentioned the circus fire, but we are going to try to do our best right to tell people a little bit about it, right?
Absolutely we are. And, you know, Nancy, I do acknowledge, and I know that you're someone that acknowledges this as well, that your story is one of the better stories that came out of that tragedy, that there are people that had some significant issues and losses because of that fire.
I told you, I have been reading a 1991 Hartford Current Northeast Magazine supplement, that was a supplement to their paper, review of the circus fire, and as I mentioned, I don't have guilt, but I don't have remorse, but I have a sort of a feeling that I really escaped with, you know, rope burns to my hands, and there were so many people who were actually burned or who experienced really horrendous destruction to themselves, and just so I am a lucky person, and I acknowledge that. Thank you for saying so.
And I also wanted to thank you for coming on and recalling these stories and talking about this with us on WTIC, because I know that this is something else we've talked about, that there are some people, some generations that maybe aren't open to talking about this kind of a thing. So This is somewhat brave of you, and I appreciate that.
Well, I just have to put in this little plug for the Gene and Glenn show, which was on WTIC, which is when I appeared singing the Marine hymn, because it was wartime and we had to be happily patriotic, on the Gene and Glenn show. And I got $5 silver, Morgan, for that.
Oh, that's amazing. This was a year before the circus fire, even.
It was, I was five, so it had to be before October 1943. I don't know, I don't have the date, and I've been unable to find, you know, maybe you have some archives someday I can look into.
About, what do you recall about that experience, the studios, anything like that, the people that you saw, anything like that?
I really can't. I wish I were able to describe something for you. All I can truly remember is standing on the front stoop of my two-family house on Thomaston Street with a doll, which was also awarded, in my hand and my $5 silver having my photo taken. That was, and I remember the words to the Marine hymn, at least the first verse. I think I only sang the first verse. And I could sing it for you now, but I won't.
I just want to welcome you back on to WTIC to think that it was 81 years ago. Yeah. Your voice was going through our antenna system, and here we are in 2024, and you're back on.
It's amazing.
Well, Nancy, what I wanted to do, I did find some archival audio, unfortunately not of you singing on the station. Maybe we'll come across that one day, but we haven't at this point in time. But I did want to start off by playing some archival audio of our coverage from the evening of that circus fire. So this was about 2 or so hours after the fire itself happened with WTIC anchor George Bow and Bernard Mullins.
Hartford this afternoon suffered one of the greatest catastrophes in its history when during a matinee performance of Ringling Brothers' Barnum and Bailey Circus, the big tent suddenly burst into flame and burned to the ground. causing more than 100 deaths and unestimated casualties. WTIC's George Bowe and myself were on the grounds within a few minutes after the conflagration had leveled the big show, and while smoke was still rising from the horrible mass of canvas and poles and bleachers.
That's right, Bernard. According to eyewitnesses at the scene, the fire started at about 2:33 after the show had been underway a quarter of an hour, and we were on the grounds about 3 o'clock. Bernard, what was that story that the woman survivor told you there?
Well, she was a lady from Meriden, George, attending the show with her 6-year-old son. Fortunately, they were seated near an exit at the far end of the tent and managed to escape. Her little boy was seated directly in front of her in the 6th row. The first indication of anything wrong came when the cry of fire was heard, and immediately a wisp of smoke came from the side wall near the front entrance. This lady pushed her youngster off the seat, and as he landed on the ground, she told him not to rush, but to keep going toward that exit. They were among the first dozen or so out.
Yes, and that wisp of smoke developed in a matter of seconds into a blazing inferno. In fact, in 2.5 minutes, the entire tent was enveloped in flames and had collapsed. An eyewitness in an office across the street told us that it appeared almost like spontaneous combustion.
I love listening to those anchors from that era, so poetic and such command of what they were talking about. Nancy Savin, our guest on Spotlight Connecticut, the broadcaster at 100, as we look back on our ongoing coverage for 80 years of the 1944 Hartford Circus Fire. Nancy, could you walk me through how it feels hearing that coverage from 80 years ago?
First of all, I agree with you totally as to the gravity and the presentation of these men, right? It sounds like the Hindenburg, right, reporting on that disaster. I don't think it was it went down as quickly as they reported, but there are so many details to this disaster, Morgan, as you know. And for reporting right after the fire, that was probably as accurate as they could be.
Tell us all, Nancy, how did that day begin for you? This is obviously before the fire happened. So
right.
What do you remember about the earliest parts of that day?
Okay, well, you're assuming that I can remember that, and I don't. It's never been in my memory. All I can tell you about, and which is probably more germane, is what happened when I was already seated in the bleachers with my aunt, Edith Savin, from New London, her two children, my brother Mitchell, and me, and her nephew. And there's this marvelous map in Michael Skidgill, I think he says his name, Hartford Circus Fire book, which enabled me to figure out that we were in the general bleachers section. There were in the center section, these are at the end, there were in the center section folding chairs where you paid much more money, but not that much more. We paid, I think my aunt paid $1.20 for each seat. And I remember being seated, I think rather high up in the bleachers, and all of a sudden, everyone stood up and looked in to the right. And I assumed that they were looking because the flying Willendas, the great acrobats, were going to start their act. And that wasn't the reason they were looking. They were looking because they saw this flame of fire in the tent. And it was right at that point that somebody yells, "Fire!" And my aunt has perspicacity to realize that better to go up high to the back of the bleachers rather than to go down towards, you know, where the normal exits and entrances were, which turned out to be fatal for many people. So I don't know if you want me to continue on this or you want to interject.
Yes, please. Why don't you continue with this recollection? So you see the fire,
right,
and you're... Anna is saying run up to the back, not down to the ground.
Right. She's not saying, I don't know that she took my hand, according to a little essay that I wrote a couple of years later. She takes my hand. She has on high heels herself, and we go up. Remember, the bleachers are just boards, like stairs without the backing, right? And we go up to the top. Now, I have read, Morgan, in several different accounts, the bleacher's height was 15 feet, it was 12 feet, it was 14 feet, I'll never know, and it doesn't even matter. But there we were at the top, and according to what I remember, I was pushed or encouraged to grab what they call the guy ropes, I don't know how sick they were, and I can understand if I had reluctance to do so, but I did, and I shimmied down. I don't have a memory of going down. I remember being caught by this big man who I was very happy he caught me, put me on the ground. And my brother, I think, went down a pole, and my cousin went down the rope, and my aunt apparently jumped successfully. Her nephew would refuse to go to jump. He sat on the top of the bleachers after we all were down, and fortunately somebody either pushed him. He suffered a severe spine dislocation because of that, but at least he got out of the fire. Then once we were on the ground, I have to tell you that I have no memory of the sidewalls. You know, that was a hindrance to people getting out, that the sidewalls, the tents, had been lowered slightly because of the heat to allow for ventilation, but somehow the whole sidewalls eventually were dropped. Some people cut holes in them with pocket knives or whatever, but I have no memory of once we were at the top of the bleacher and once we got down, I don't remember seeing any sidewall. Anyhow, so then we were on the grounds, and there were many, many people, not hordes of people, but many people, and I have a distinct memory of seeing a young girl with an absolutely frantic, fearful look in her eye. She doesn't know where to go, what to do. And a man carrying a child who had been burned. And then we swiftly got off of the site and found our way to a house along, I'm not sure if it was Barber Street or what. And the people let us in, as probably hundreds of houses did, to allow us to call. No cell phones, right, Morgan? To allow us to call my uncle, who had a business in East Hartford, and then my father came in his car up that street, and I remember he didn't know where we were, and I guess we didn't give him an address, but I was able to whistle, a very wonderful whistle he had taught me to do, and then he picked us up, and that was all I really remember. And the other thing is that we never really talked about it afterwards. Maybe, like, you know, people don't want to talk about horrible things. It was, I wrote this little essay, but we never had, like, family conversations about this. And for years and years and years. And the one thing that really saddens me is that I was taking piano lessons at the age of 6 at the Hartford Music School, and my teacher was a man, lovely man, by the name of Samuel Gorski. And it turned out that he had his only child, died in the fire. And I think now, of all those years I went to my piano lessons, or all the piano students that he had, how agonizing it must have been for him, right? To see all these young kids alive and playing the piano, and he had lost his child. And yet, I don't remember ever saying to him, "I'm so sorry, Mr. Gorski." So people sort of didn't talk about it, at least in my bailiwick.
Absolutely terrible. I mean, all of that. And Nancy, I want to dig into it even further with you on WTIC as we mark the broadcaster at 100, our chapter on covering the 1944 Hartford Circus Fire on Spotlight Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC. Find me on social media at MC News Talk.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hey, your midday friend Tom Shattuck here, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. And we're celebrating the broadcaster at 100. Happy birthday to you, WTIC.
Oh, I love that singing. Thank you, Tom. The broadcaster at 100, the 1944 Hartford Circus Fire, the longest-running developing news story we've ever had on WTIC. Before we continue with Nancy, I want to mention that the 80th anniversary memorial and commemorations of the 1944 Hartford Circus Fire tragedy will be held on the actual 80th anniversary, Saturday, July 6th, 2024, at 2 in the afternoon at the memorial site, which is located at 350 Barber Street. So if you go to 350 Barber Street on Saturday, July 6th at 2 in the afternoon, you'll be able to attend the memorial. Survivors are welcome. The family of survivors are welcome. Anybody from the public interested in the history of this day definitely a ceremony that you'll want to attend. 80 years of the Circus Fire, memorialized and eulogized on Saturday, July 6th, 2024, at 2 in the afternoon at the memorial site located at 350 Barber Street. You know, Nancy, listening to your story minutes ago about the tragedy you witnessed as a child and how you didn't get really much of a chance to talk about it ever after that, do you think that that impacted your childhood at all, that you didn't have that opportunity to talk it out like people would today? You know, that's what we would expect today, that people would have the opportunity, be encouraged to talk about something like that.
No, you're absolutely correct. You would have trauma specialists all over this, right? Because you wouldn't want people to have to live with the trauma for the rest of their lives. That's what we do today. That's what therapists do today. That was not the case then. And I don't mean to disappoint you, but I had a, fortunately, a very lovely childhood. And this did not impinge in any way on that experience. As I say, I wasn't traumatized. I might have been, but I wasn't. I sort of took it in stride, whatever that means. And but there were many people, as I have said before, that really, really endured much greater trauma, to use the word, and did live with it throughout their childhood and their adult lives in a way which I have to say, fortunately, I did not.
We're about to take another pause on Spotlight Connecticut, the broadcaster at 100. But when we get back, Nancy, you want to talk a little bit more about the Circus Fans of America and their role in this entire tragedy. And it's something that has not been documented before, to the best of my knowledge, right?
Correct.
So look at you. You're like a little historian on this. I love it.
I do too.
Well, Nancy, I need you to hold on. We're going to go take another quick break here, and we'll come back with some more details on the history and the lasting effect of the 1944 Hartford Circus Fire. And toward the end of the program, I'll wrap up some of our coverage in more recent years and play some samples of how we've kept this story going for 80 years. It's the broadcaster at 100 on Spotlight Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, this is former morning news anchor Brian Thomas, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. And we're saluting the broadcaster at 100. Happy birthday, WTIC.
I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, the broadcaster at 100, celebrating the road to 100 years of WTIC. Our topic this week, the fifth installment in our Broadcaster at 100 series, the 1944 Hartford Circus Fire, the longest-running developing news story on WTIC. I do want to mention that over the years, we have been part of the memorials. We have attended them. We've covered them. We've met survivors.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
And unfortunately, that number is getting smaller and smaller by the year, but we've also realized that there are new generations of people who go to this every year when they have the memorial, the 80th anniversary memorial. Commemorating that 1944 Hartford Circus Fire tragedy is coming up on the day that it happened, July 6th, 2024, at 2 in the afternoon. The memorial will be held where there is a memorial, and that memorial actually began on the 60th anniversary. They started to build it in 2004. A year later, 2005, it was complete at 350 Barber Street. So anybody who would like to attend, it's open to the public. That would be on Saturday, July 6th, 2024, the 80th anniversary itself, at 2 in the afternoon at the memorial located at 350 Barber Street. Our guest is survivor Nancy Savin. Nancy, you want to be one of our reporters at WTIC because you uncovered an angle of this story
right.
that has not really come up before, and that would be the Circus Fans of America.
Right. I'm going to tell you that story in its totality, but I want to make a point, which I'm sure you will agree with, which is very important to make. At the time that the circus arrived in Hartford for its two-day show, right, and there was no obligatory fire inspection rulings. They never had a fire inspector come to check out the tent once it had been erected at all. And the police, I'm not sure that the police came or not. I think they needed a building permit. I think they got that. So after this horrendous event that, you know, might have been avoided had there been proper fire prevention things in place, and we won't go into all of the details of that, apparently the city of Hartford or the state of Connecticut legislature convened and rewrote all the regulations so that there was a implicit coordination between police and fire for all of these kinds of events. So it's like a very bitter, horrible lesson to have learned, but at least there was that outcome. Which,
unfortunately, it sometimes it takes a tragedy to think up something like that.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to make that point. Okay, so the Circus Fans of America, I only knew about because my cousin Ruth Savin Greenberg from New London had once sent me a photograph of her mother, her brother, my brother and me, Mitchell and me, and two guys from New London whose names were Mr. Prentice and Mr. Nissen. That's all she knew. And she knew that they were members of an organization called Circus Fans of America. So I went online, and I found their website, right? And I sent a little email to them saying who I was, and I've been in the fire, and I needed to talk to someone who might be able to give me, shed some light on who these guys were, because in all of the books and in all of the online information that I have read about this fire, and there are very industrious and highly researched books like Michael Skidgel, I think he says, and Stuart Onan, no mention of Circus Fans of America. So, okay, so I had a mystery on my hands. They put me in touch with a man whose name is Bruce Hawley. Mr. Hawley lives in Stratford, Connecticut. He's the president of Circus Historical Society. It's sort of like an adjunct. It's a totally different. But he knew a lot about the fire. He after we had our initial conversation, he said he'd do some research, and he got back to me saying that he could find nothing about those two men or Circus Fans of America that have anything to do with the Hartford Circus fire.
So he went and did more digging.
He went and did more digging and figured out that there was a guy whom he knew in Florida who had copies of the old magazine for Circus Fans of America that never were digitized. And he asked him to look for this, and lo and behold, he found this article, highly detailed, with these two guys' names of how they helped at the fire. And so that just burst the bubble right there. So this is something that the whole Circus Fire story should begin to include, because that was the mantra of the Circus Fans of America, that members, probably guys, not so much women maybe, who knows, would go to the fire, go to the circuses, and be there in case of an emergency in order to help out, to volunteer. And these two guys from New London definitely did, and there probably were others. And another just little tiny little piece of information is on eBay, I purchased an application to become a member of the Circus Fans of America, and the man's name to whom you had to mail it was Mr. Conklin, and he lived on Allendale Road in Hartford. So I looked him up online, and sure enough, there was such a guy. And he was the secretary of Circus Fans Association of America. Doesn't have a date, but you could join for, I don't know what the exact price was. But so I do have that. So there were people who belonged to this organization in Hartford, and it needs to be explored just a little bit more.
Look at this. This is exactly, Nancy, what I've been trying to say in this entire Broadcaster at 100 series, but particularly this episode, that for 80 years we have been covering this story and we're still learning about it. You would think that after 80 years we would know everything, but we don't.
Yes, yes, you're absolutely correct.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Now, Nancy, I want to highlight the fact that we never really truly figured out how this started. We have ideas how the fire started, but we don't know for sure, correct?
Well, there are theories, and there's no way of knowing exactly how. It could have been, number one, a cigarette, because there were no signs that said no smoking, God forbid.
Everybody smoked then.
Everyone smoked, and when they finished smoking, they flicked it on the ground. So it could have been that. That would be one. It could have been an arsonist. There was an arsonist who confessed to setting it, but he may have been coerced, and so that may or may not be true. It sort of is almost beside the point. It could have been spontaneous combustion. It was very hot, and the circus people, because of, I don't know, this is another long story about, as you know, the tent had been what they thought waterproofed. Why you want to waterproof in the middle of July? The waterproof against rain. And they used gasoline and paraffin wax, a mixture, in order to do that. And that, it's just like, you know, it's like a haystack.
Right, you're asking for a fire, basically.
Exactly. Well, they got it, too. The other thing that absolutely fascinates me, Morgan, and I can't come to any conclusion on this, is if there were indeed, let's say, 5 or 6, even 7,000 people there, how did the circus top collapsed in 10 minutes? How did they get out? They did, but how? My mind cannot wrap itself around that.
I feel like a lot of people probably had to do what you did, go down those guy ropes, no?
Well, yeah, we did. That's true, but does that really account for thousands of people? I don't.
It does seem a bit high.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people love that 6 to 7,000. they did not walk away without injury. As you had mentioned earlier, I believe it's your cousin that had a spinal issue after that.
Right. Now, there were like 500 or 600 people who were severely injured and horrible burns, like, and who were compensated, because as you know, this went to court, it was litigated, and people got, there was millions of dollars in compensation to those people who had been hurt. They didn't offer anything, I shouldn't even say this, for rope burns, but
right.
That's really stupid.
And that's what you suffered from, thankfully, that was the extent of it for you.
Exactly. Right.
Nancy, in our final moments here, is there any one website, any one source that you would recommend to people so they could learn more about the fire?
Okay, that is a marvelous question, and the answer is yes. And here it is, www.circusfire1944.com. And it's been organized and established by a man, this man I mentioned earlier, Michael Skidgel, who is from Plainfield, who has done an inordinate amount of research and made a wonderful map of the circus grounds, which enabled me to see exactly where we were sitting. That was a sort of an unnerving moment when I figured that out. But it has in tons of coverage. It has a list of survivors. I'm not on it, but I think that needs updating. I think at this point, don't you think, Morgan, would you agree that it would be nice to have all the survivors sort of get together and say thank you?
I think it would be. I think that that would be appropriate. I think it might be impossible now with people so up in age, and everybody's probably somewhere different among those who are still alive. But I think it would be nice. I think that there will be a lot of those people at the 80th anniversary. And being such a milestone anniversary, 80 years, and being that a lot of people are now in their late 80s and 90s, not to age you, you're in that category. You're 86 and 8 months, as you mentioned. So, happy birthday to you.
Oh, well, Morgan, let me ask you, who is organizing this event on Barber Street? Do you have any idea? And maybe you, there's a contact name that you could give, or either to me or...
I really don't know exactly who is organizing this. All I know is that the details are that it will be Saturday, July 6th, 2024, the actual 80th anniversary, at 2 in the afternoon at 350 Barber Street.
Right. Well, I think somebody must be, and that would be the person. I mean, I'd be happy to get in touch with that person if I could find out who it is, who could suggest that if there are survivors in the audience that day, that they somehow sort of make themselves known.
Well, maybe they'll hear this episode and they'll come out. Nancy, thank you so much for coming on Spotlight Connecticut to mark this anniversary with us, and I'm glad that we were able to get in touch.
Well, it was my greatest pleasure. I think you are fabulous. You did a marvelous job of covering this whole issue and tragedy, and I look forward to seeing you soon at the memorial for sure.
Nancy Savin, survivor of the 1944 Hartford Circus Fire. And when we get back in a moment, I'll play some clips of more recent coverage of the fire.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Hi, it's one of Bob Steele's sons, Phil Steele, and you're listening to Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham, and we're celebrating the broadcaster at 100.
Just a little heads up that our next episode, our next edition of the broadcaster at 100 will be on Bob Steele. We're going to have two parts in our ongoing series to celebrate WTIC's 100 years on Bob. The first will be on July 27th at 2 in the afternoon, so that's a can't miss. I'm Morgan Cunningham as we continue to look back on the story that we have been covering the longest among all local and national stories on WTIC. That would be the 1944 Hartford Circus Fire. This is former Connecticut Governor Raymond E. Baldwin.
The work of identification has not yet been finished. Possibly it may never be complete. Of the 127 victims who were taken to the armory, seven are still unidentified. There are six persons listed by the State War Council as missing in the disaster.
Still to this day, there are five who have not yet been identified. And in a moment, we'll continue to talk about that aspect, the identification process. But as the years have gone on, there have been numerous memorials, and WTIC has been, I wouldn't say at all of them, but many of them, including one in which Claudia and Lowell Weicker attended. Of course, that's former Governor Lowell Weicker and First Lady Claudia. And what I learned in going through our coverage was that one of Claudia's family members perished in the fire.
What are your feelings today on the final dedication of the memorial?
I think it's lovely. I think it's a lovely day. I think it's a wonderful day for the survivors and their families. And it's been a long time coming. And I think that perhaps now, I only wish my parents could be here. They would have found, I think, some peace in this
very beautiful place associated with this.
Yes. In fact, I was quite moved because I think it was the very first time I've ever heard my brother's name spoken by someone other than a family member.
Thank you very much for speaking with us. We're speaking with Governor Weicker. What are your feelings today on seeing the memorial finally dedicated?
Well, the people that worked so hard to produce this just did a phenomenal job. It's a beautiful memorial. It's wonderfully planned. It took awfully a lot of effort over the years. And really, I'm sure those that they honor, those that died and the survivors, will forever be grateful to a handful of people for having created this wonderful, wonderful memorial.
That was on the 61st anniversary of the Circus Fire, July 6th, 2005, the first year with an official memorial.
Donald Abate, age 5. Maria Abate, 34. Gertrude Wiley Adams, 63. Elaine B. Ackerland, 15. Frederick B. Baker, 63. Gail Ann Berry, 5. Gladys Berry, 40.
Mary when they have Bedore, these anniversaries, 13. They go through Roy the 167 Bell, names Jr. of those Six. Who died Bedore in the 1944 Virgin. Hartford Circus Fire.
Final victim had no family that we know of, was never identified, and was the first to be lost permanently to history. An infant without a name, victim 001.
And here we are 80 years later, and we still have not been able to identify 5 victims of the Circus Fire. And as Governor Baldwin indicated in 1944, that may never happen. This is a report that I did in 2020, although I don't necessarily like how I used to sound in those days, but this is a report that I did on attempts to identify at least one body.
Two exhumed bodies that went unidentified after Hartford's Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus Fire in July 1944 are still unidentified. Officials have been trying to determine if one of the fire victims could be positively identified as Grace Fifield. The 47-year-old Vermont woman was never seen again after attending the circus on the day of that fire. So far, dental comparisons and an anthropological examination have failed, but experts aren't giving up. An ancestry investigation has begun in the meantime. Morgan Cunningham, WTIC 1080. News.
Every year they are holding those memorials. There will be one this year for the 80th anniversary. This is from the 2021 memorial that was held.
Survivors tell the stories of happenstance that might have saved their lives that day. Before the show, 13-year-old Harry Lichtenbaum and his sister moved from one section where an exit was blocked to another that was not blocked.
Every day I think about it. I really do. I don't dwell on it, but I think about it. Particularly when somebody lights a match or a cigarette.
It's believed that a dropped cigarette may have ignited the flames. Henry Savin, now 82, explains the massive canvas tent was waterproofed with paraffin wax dissolved in gas.
So now you have a suspension of wax in gasoline. And they would paint that on the tent.
The big top burned out of control in minutes. Savin and his family were saved by two men who were circus enthusiasts and knew how to take down the sides of the tent. Dave Maker, WTIC 1080 News.
And just to reiterate, this year's anniversary will be held at 2 in the afternoon on Saturday, July 6, 2024, at the memorial on Barber Street, 350 Barber Street. Again, I'd like to thank Nancy Savin for coming on and sharing her story publicly and looking back on the 1944 Hartford Circus Fire. As we wrap up the Broadcaster at 100, the fifth installment, looking back on the 1944 Hartford Circus Fire at our 80 years of covering it. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080. Next month, we'll look back on Bob Steele.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.